Good morning. This is Long Island Local News on 88.3 WLIW-FM and heard in Central and Western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Almost all school districts across Long Island, including every Suffolk County school district, won voter support of budgets yesterday, often by lopsided majorities, in a season marked by robust spending proposals and low tax increases. John Hildebrand and Michael R. Ebert report on Newsday.com that spending proposals totaling a combined $14.3 billion in Nassau and Suffolk appeared on Tuesday ballots, along with names of 441 board candidates and 96 special proposition in Long Island's 124 districts. Budgets are up an average of 4.17% for the 2022-23 school year, the sharpest increase in more than a decade. But proposed tax increases average only 1.54% because record allotments of state and federal funding are picking up much of the added tabs for districts. School taxation is a major economic factor on Long Island, typically accounting for more than 60% of property owners' tax bills. Education leaders said they felt cautiously optimistic after reviewing early returns. Obviously, it's trending positively as far as budgets are concerned, said Lorraine Deller, executive director of the Nassau-Suffolk School Boards Association. Still awaiting some late results, we are very pleased by the show of support for Long Island's public schools. Normally, moderate taxation would translate into lopsided support from voters. This year had a different look, however, because political and social issues such as mask mandates and gender identity surfaced in some school board races. A planned closure of the East Hampton Town Airport has been put on hold following the issuance of a temporary restraining order against the town late Monday in state Supreme Court. John Valente reports on Newsday.com that New York State Supreme Court Justice Paul J. Baisley Jr. issued the order following hearings earlier in the day in his Riverhead courtroom. The town of East Hampton had planned to close the airport, located in Waynescott, at 11:59 last night and then reopen it tomorrow at 9 a.m. in what has been a controversial attempt to turn the public facility into a private one, a move that would allow the town to institute a series of flight restrictions in order to reduce air traffic at East Hampton Airport. The case is due back in court on May 26th. Three groups of petitioners seeking to stop the conversion of the airport into a private facility have argued the move not only would hurt companies flying charters, private jets, and helicopters into and out of East Hampton, but also would increase air traffic in other nearby jurisdictions, notably Montauk. East Hampton Town Supervisor Peter Von Skoyek said Tuesday that while the town plans to remain fully compliant with the court decision, it has created chaos. Eastern Long Island is grappling with a housing shortage and a crisis of affordability. That ever more challenging issue will be addressed in Sag Harbor tomorrow. The church in Sag Harbor plans to bring together elected officials, community leaders, and others for the Affordable Community Housing Convening this Thursday, May 19th, tomorrow. The full-day event at the church in Sag Harbor will include a review of current efforts to address affordability on the East End, a discussion of solutions developed in similar communities nationally, and an effort to address the role the cultural community can play. The event will feature a series of expert panels and case studies. Contact the church in Sag Harbor regarding tickets and more information about their day-long convening tomorrow, addressing the East End affordable housing issue. A New York State Supreme Court justice late Monday issued a temporary restraining order blocking the town of East Hampton from closing East Hampton Airport last night and reopening as a private facility tomorrow morning. The case is due back in court on May 26th. East Hampton Town Supervisor Peter Von Skoyek said yesterday that while the town plans to remain fully compliant with the court decision, it has created chaos. As part of the conversion, the Federal Aviation Administration had already issued NOTAMs, written notices to pilots using the airport notifying them of the transition. As such, Von Skoyek said the status of flight operations at the airport in Waynescott remains unclear. He tells Newsday, "We've been in touch touch with the FAA so we can coordinate with them, but the FAA controls the airspace and we have moved on a path toward closure of HTO and the opening of JPX, and so we have no idea what this means. We're in limbo, I suppose, says the East Hampton Town Supervisor. HTO refers to the airport's existing identification code. It's expected to change to JPX. The airport is open year-round, but air traffic accessing the airport increases dramatically between May and September, the Hampton summer season. Town officials have argued the conversion would reduce flight noise and traffic, institute operational curfews, and also would prohibit the largest jets, which are over 50,000 pounds, a move the town of East Hampton said would exclude planes designed to carry 12 or more passengers. The town estimates the conversion would reduce traffic by 40% and complaints by 70%. Suffolk County legislators voted to hold a public hearing to bar county lawmakers from serving more than a total of 12 years in office, an effort to prevent them from running for new terms after taking a break. Scott Idler reports on Newsday.com that the legislature advanced a measure that would establish a countywide referendum in November. The current county law prohibits elected officials from serving more than 12 consecutive years in office. A date has not been set for the hearing, said Michael Martino, a spokesman for majority Republicans. Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone, a Democrat, finishing his third term next year, told Newsday in a statement yesterday, "I am a strong supporter of term limits, which exist in the county and half the towns in Suffolk as well. I reviewed the bill and intend to support this legislation if approved." New York's court-appointed special master on Monday released proposed redistricting maps for congressional and state Senate districts. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the congressional district map altered the boundary lines for the 1st congressional district significantly from the gerrymandered map struck down by the New York Court of Appeals late last month. The district will no longer snake into Nassau County as it did on the map rejected by the court as drawn with an, quote, unconstitutional partisan intent. The special master's proposal for the Eastern Suffolk Congressional District looks more like the existing district, with relatively minor changes to its western boundaries. It is no longer Democrat-leaning, as it would have been with the map struck down by the court. Instead, it returns to a district with a slight Republican edge. The special master's proposal for New York's 1st Senate District extends the district to the west along the North Shore, taking in Stony Brook, including the university campus, and moves most of eastern Brookhaven Town, including Calverton and portions of Manorville, into the 3rd Senate District. The special master's proposed maps are not final until approved by the trial court in upstate Steuben County, where the lawsuit challenging the state-approved maps was brought. The judge overseeing the case has set a May 20th deadline for finalizing the lines. The state's highest court on April 27th ruled 4-3 against the maps adopted by the Democrat-majority New York State Legislature and in favor of petitioners challenging their constitutionality. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.